Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always
Word of Life.
Well, good morning, y'all. Good to be here again. So we are in the middle of our Amplify sermon series, and we're looking at there's many different things in society today that have been amplified through these past 6 to 8 months, whether through the coronavirus or everything that's going on in the world. Everything in our lives just seems to be amplified. And so in the midst of all that's going on around us, how does the church respond faithfully in the way that God wants us to respond in a way that glorifies Him? Instead of just reacting to all that's going around, how do we as a church respond? And this week we're talking about a probably more difficult topic than last week's sermon about God's love. Today we're talking about amplifying God's justice. And what does that look like in our church and look in our lives? And as you've been aware, if you've paid attention at all to any news or social media, sort of injustice has been amplified in our society today. I mean, this week with Breonna Taylor and how many people keenly and deeply feel a great injustice that was done surrounding that situation, including myself. Issues of justice surrounding law enforcement in the African-American community. Rioters violently destroying the lives and businesses of innocent people. Injustice just seems to be so amplified in our society today. It's right before our eyes, and I really don't need to tell you that it's going on. It's all around us. And so in the midst of all this, in the midst of all the injustice going on, how do we as a church respond in a way that glorifies God and in a way that honors God, in a way that's biblically faithful to God and His Word? So let's dive into Scripture and let's just see what the Lord says about justice. So we're in the book of Micah, if you have your Bibles with you. It's going to be Micah 6, 1 through 8. Giving a bit of context real quick before we read the Scriptures. Micah's preaching to his hometown area. He grew up in the southern Judah, kind of in the farming region, the area where there's a lot of wealth concentrated. This was a time of great prosperity in Judah. It was sort of right, there was a period of in between with the Assyrian and Neo-Assyrian Empire where Judah and Israel prospered financially. Everything was going well. If you read a secular history book, you would say that period, that about 50 to 60 year period of Israel and Judah's history was one of the best in the history of that country. And yet those are the periods where we see the prophets come in and say, you are living a life of debauchery, of injustice and idolatry. And it's in this season where everything seems right on the outside that God sends his prophets to say, you're rotting on the inside. Looking a bit at a couple earlier verses, Micah 2, Micah says this to his hometown people. Woe to those who plan iniquity, to those who plot evil on their beds. At morning's light they carry it out because it is in their power to do it. They covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them. They defraud people of their homes, and they rob them of their inheritance. Then later in verse 3, Micah says this to his people. Then I said, listen, you leaders of Jacob, you rulers of Israel. Should you not embrace justice? You who hate good and love evil, who tear the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who eat my people's flesh and strip off their skin and break their bones into pieces, who chop them up like meat in the pan, like flesh for the pot. But they will cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer him. At that time, he will hide his face from them because of the evil they have done. In this time, the poor were being oppressed. There were protections for the poor in the Levitical law. And the people of Israel were not doing what God had called them to do. They were taking the inheritance. They were seizing land that was rightfully belonging to people. And in those days, land was sort of the way that you would survive. It was the way that you provided an income, provided food for your family. And so when someone comes in and takes your land, it's like they're taking away your very livelihood. And in that context, the Lord preaches this message through his prophet Isaiah. In Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, hear the word of the Lord. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to you, also Aaron and Miriam, what Balak the king of Moab plotted and what Balaam the son of Beor answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, and that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. What shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings with calf a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, with 10,000 jars of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for my sins? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before your God. And so we see that the first call here in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, is this call to act justly, this call to be people of justice. And so what does justice mean? I think we hear a lot of the voices of the world telling us what justice means, but Scripture speaks of justice flowing out of the heart of God. Because we see justice is fundamentally about making things right. The heart of justice is about making things right because we serve a God who makes things right. We've been invited by the grace of God to participate in this justice ministry in the earth of making things right for people, to be active in the world like God is active in the world, to bring all of creation into redemption, all the world into redemption, that justice flows from the heart of God, that it's not an afterthought. Just like love is not an afterthought of God, love is foundational to the character of God, so too is justice foundational to the character of God. The Lord calls his people who are participating in injustice to once again repent and act justly again. And in this context, who are the objects of injustice? Scripture has a lot to say about the widows, the orphans, the foreigner, the poor, the oppressed. Those were the Levitical law and the Deuteronomic law really protected those class of people. God's heart for justice is for those whom society has marginalized, those who can't fight for themselves, those who need others to come around them, to ally with them, to lift them up. God has a heart for those who are on the outskirts, those who are easily out of sight, out of mind, are right in the forefront of God's heart and mind. Looking a bit at what Deuteronomy says, chapter 16, verses 18 through 20, appoint judges and officials for each of your tribes, and in every town the Lord your God is giving you, and they shall judge the people fairly. Do not pervert justice or show partiality. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the innocent. Follow justice and justice alone, so that you may live in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And then later in chapter 24, he says this to his people in verses 17 through 22. Do not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there, and that is why I commanded you to do this. When you are harvesting your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back and get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless all in your may bless you in all your work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, for the widow, and the fatherless. And when you harvest grapes in your vineyards, do not go over your vines again. Leave what remains to the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that is why I am commanding you to do this. Written on the very law of God is his heart for the fatherless, the widow, and the orphan, the ones whom justice is always seems to be lacking. God says, I desire justice for them. Love and justice are so intertwined in the heart of God. It's not like there are separate tools in a toolbox, like, okay, now I have to get my love hammer out and beat it. Okay, now I gotta get my justice wrench out and fix that problem. It's rather like ropes or like strands on a rope. They're so interly woven together that out of God's love for humanity, out of God's love for the oppressed, flows God's heart to make things right for them. That they're not separate issues, but they're one and the same. And that as God calls us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, God calls us to love justice, to love to make things right. Love and justice are so interwoven. God calls us to reach out to those on the margins, to reach out to the oppressed and help make it so that way the margins that exist in our society no longer exist, just like in the kingdom of God. We pray every Sunday in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What we're saying in essence is, God, let your justice rule on this earth. God, make it so that way our society today is like it when we go to heaven. God, make your will up in heaven be here on earth. God, care for the people on earth like you do in heaven. God, pray that justice comes in our midst. God, for those whom justice has been denied, have justice flow down like a mighty river. Justice is fundamentally about getting our life in alignment with the Lord's. God doesn't want us to just be a Sunday morning Christian. He wants us to be a Christian in every facet of our life from Monday to Sunday. Not just coming to church on Sunday and singing songs and offering praises to him. See, that was the issue here with Micah, with Judah and his people. They went to the temple. They did all the right religious ceremonies. They made the right sacrifices on their holy day. But then the rest of the week, it says they plotted out evil and they did all these acts of injustices and they acted unjustly in their daily life. And the Lord called them out and said, stop it. Looking at verse 6 through 7 in Micah, this is the response of the people after the Lord kind of lays out his case to them. He says, the people say, what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the Exalted? Shall I come before him with a burnt offering, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of jars of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And so when the people of God receive this accusation, they say, Lord, what is it that you want? What do you want us to do? Do you want more worship? Do you want more sacrifice? Will that make things right? Do you want greater sacrifices? Have I not given you enough? And you see the Lord say, no, it's not what I want. What I want you to do is act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. What I want you to do is live your daily life with me like I've called you to do. I want your life to be in alignment with mine. As Christians, we believe that we have the Holy Spirit within us. Scripture says that the law of God, when we become Christians, is written on our hearts. That this law to care for the marginalized and the oppressed is written on our hearts, not by some outside source, but the Holy Spirit himself writes the law of God on our hearts and writes this desire for justice on our hearts. That God's heart and desire for justice becomes our heart and desire for justice. God calls us to live justly and enables us in our daily life to follow him. And so how can you act justly in your daily life? Do you go to the kid who's marginalized at school, or do you make fun of him like everyone else? Do you treat your employees with respect and truly listen to them and hear their cries and their pleas? Who is it in society that is the orphan, the widow, and the fatherless among us? Do we listen to their pleas and cries, or do we just ignore them and get on with our daily lives?
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
John Wesley makes the distinction in his teachings between what he calls acts of piety and acts of mercy. Acts of piety are kind of what we think of classic spiritual disciplines, prayer, scripture, you know, kind of all those internally focused acts of piety. But he also said that acts of mercy were important as well, just as important as acts of piety, and that would be like serving the poor, giving money to the poor, caring for the oppressed, caring for the marginalized. In the Methodist movement, it wasn't just a revitalization of people's heart, but it was a revitalization of society. And there was a man named William Wilberforce. You may have heard him before. He was instrumental in ending the slave trade and then later slavery in England. And he was one of the early Methodists. And John Wesley writes to him 7 days before he dies. And what we see in William Wilberforce is that his whole life was in alignment with God, where he had this conversion experience and he said, I have to do something about the slavery going on in this country. I have to do something. I've been put in a position of power. I'm a politician. I need to fight to end slavery. And Wesley wrote this to Wilberforce near the end of his life. Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God? Oh, be not weary of doing well. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might, till even American slavery, the vilest that ever saw the sun, shall vanish away. Wesley believed that this call for justice on William Wilberforce's life wasn't just this manufactured thing that he came up with all by himself, but it was divinely put on his heart by God, and that he wasn't fighting against God, or he wasn't sent out by God to do this, but he was working with God in society to bring about justice in his day and age. And God calls us to do the same thing. Act justly. Love mercy. Love mercy. The word mercy here is the Hebrew word hesed, which is the covenant word that God uses to describe the relationship between him and his people. It's all, in the King James Version, it's translated as loving kindness. It's that word of covenant faithfulness between God and his people. I will be hesed to you. I will be show you my loving kindness. I will show you my covenant faithfulness. And God says, I want you to love that covenant faithfulness. And what we see is justice flows out of what God has done for us. In Micah 6, 4 through 5, he says this to his people, I brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you and Aaron and Miriam. My people remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. Micah says, remember what I've done for you. Remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember how when you were in slavery in Egypt, when you were in bondages, when you were oppressed, the Lord rescued you from that. We see that in Deuteronomy as well, chapter 24, where he says, I am asking you to care for the widow, the fatherless, and the orphan, because I did the same thing for you when you were in Egypt. It's not a new idea. I'm asking you to love like I love. I'm asking you to do justice like I have done justice for you. God's call for justice is a response to what he has done in and through and for us. We love it when God gives us justice. We love it when God makes things right for us. But sometimes it makes us uncomfortable to advocate for justice for someone else. Sometimes it makes us uncomfortable to do that. We are to be advocates for making things right because God made things right for us. Remembering what God has done for us in our past leads and informs our actions in the future. Everything we do in regard to justice is in response to what God has already done for us. It leads us outward, that what the Lord transforms in our lives is not merely just for us, but to express to the world a different way of living, a different way of doing justice, a different way of advocating for those who need justice. And just as we said, the Lord's love leads us to love of others. The Lord's justice for us leads us to justice for others. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly with your God. So finally, we see that justice is something that is done with God. It's done with God. This is the great invitation of the Christian faith, is to walk with God. In the beginning of Genesis, you see Adam and Eve, and it says, they walked with God in the cool of the garden. Whitney, I'm just now remembering that I forgot to dismiss children's church. Whoops. My bad. That's embarrassing. Where was I? Walk with God. I even had it written down. Okay, anyways. The Lord's desire is this deep, intimate relationship with Him. Not just a once-a-week Sunday interaction, but a daily walk with Him through our lives. Walking with the Lord. When we walk with the Lord, we find that His priorities start to become our priorities. That when we do this daily walk with God, that we find that our lives become transformed and that God's heart for justice becomes our heart for justice. Because justice is primarily about people. It's primarily about people. And God deeply loves people, which means that God deeply loves justice. And justice is about His priorities becoming our priorities. The transformative grace of God allows our hearts to become priorities and vessels of God's, to become in alignment with God's will. To act justly is to take on the heart of God. I heard this one pastor talk about this idea. He called it holy discontent. And ever since I've heard it, I just fell in love with this idea, where he says that our heart, that God gives us a heart, each of us, he calls, God works in our heart to give us what he calls holy discontent, meaning God works within us to give us his desires. And he uses this an example, using Moses as an example. Moses, when he kills the Egyptian in Exodus, Moses had this holy discontent within him, that his people couldn't be in bondage anymore. And so he acts out and he kills the Egyptian. And then later, Moses is the vessel that God brings about justice for his people. And we find that God had given Moses early on in those years that holy discontent within him, that something is not right and I need to do something about it. And the illustration that the pastor gives is Popeye. You ever seen the cartoon Popeye? It's a super old cartoon that I've only seen once or twice because I'm a very young person. And if you've ever seen a Popeye cartoon, what it does is there's usually a situation where the bad guy's doing something to his girl or he's messing with Popeye, and then it just elevates and elevates and elevates until it finally gets to this point where Popeye says, I can't stands it no more. And that is what the heart of holy discontent is about. That the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is at work in your hearts. That you see injustice in our world, and you just look at it and you see, I can't stands it anymore. And that is what the Lord does in our hearts, and the transformation he brings in our lives through the power and work of the Holy Spirit, that when we walk with God and we choose to put our steps in alignment with him, he moves and transforms our lives for the transformation of the world. Because the truth is, the Christian life that God gives us is a life of holy discontent, this deep-seated desire for justice. He'll give you something he may not give someone else. What makes you super passionate and say, I can't stand it anymore, may not be what God gives someone else. Maybe that he gives the whole church a desire for justice for one issue, but gives us our own specialities for others. But God does not simply want us to be watchers on the sideline. He calls us up and tells us to participate in his kingdom-building work in the world. I was talking to Deneen this morning about this sermon. I was really nervous about it. And she encouraged me to share what my holy discontent is and what the Lord has been showing and giving through me. So I was in Kentucky when the Breonna Taylor shooting was announced in the papers. It was in May. And where I was living in Kentucky was about an hour away from Louisville, which is how you're supposed to say it, by the way. Louisville, not Louisville. It was about an hour away from Louisville. And so it felt like it was home. And I remember as I was reading the reports and reading about this woman and reading about her life and her tragic, unjust death, I remember just feeling this overwhelming sadness of this woman whose life was taken away too early. She was my age. She was 26 years old. She was my age. And then I also remember this deep-seated anger that I felt kind of swell up within me, that this is not right. This is not how society should be. This is not how things ought to happen. And that this event, it actually happened in March, but it didn't go into the papers until May, and so it just felt like it was one of those things. It appeared like nothing was going to happen until it made news. It seemed like it was swept under the rug. And I remember just thinking deep within my soul, something is deeply wrong here, and something needs to change. I can't stand it no more. In the Methodist Church, we have this liturgy in our communion liturgy, where we do the prayer of confession. And one of the things that we say is, Lord, forgive us, for we have not heard the cry of the needy. Lord, forgive me, for I did not hear the cry of the needy. Lord, I did not hear my brothers and sisters in Christ calling out for justice, and I ignored it. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. And what the Lord does is he, like I've been playing with this clay, you may have been wondering, that's what the Lord is doing in our lives. It's this slow kind of kneading and working to soften up the clay, that just as a potter softens up the clay to make it usable, to form into his vessel, God does that within our lives. He slowly works that holy discontent in our lives to bring about transformation for the world. And so what is it the Lord has given you a holy discontent for? Or do you even have a holy discontent and you want one? Where is God wrecking your heart for the brokenness of our world? Walk humbly with our God. It means saying, you know what? God may be right. I may be wrong. And that's okay. Because there's always grace, always forgiveness. That's always okay to say, Lord, I may be right, or I may be wrong, but you may be right. Come humble me, Lord. Let me walk with you.